Open now your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. You'll find this on page 977 in your pew Bible. And this morning we come to the summit of Ephesians, where we get a picture of the infinite and incomprehensible love of God for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3. We pick up reading in verse 14 and read to the end of the chapter. Hear now the word of the Lord. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. How do I love thee? Said the poet. Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight. Well, Elizabeth Barrett Browning's well-known love poem captures well the romanticism of the Victorian age, as well as our own. For many today, love conquers all. But if you think about it for a moment, it is a fleeting worldview. For if you're honest, our love, no matter how deep or how broad or how high, has limits. You can never love one another fully, completely, as you might wish you could. Sometimes those whom we love are simply out of our reach. We would love to serve them. We would love to care for them, but we simply cannot. They may not receive our love, or we may not be in a place or a circumstance to show them our love. Well, for others, it might be simply true that our love waxes and wanes over time due to circumstances. We just simply get worn out and find it hard to love. And so our love is like we are. It is limited, finite, fickle, complex, and yes, beautiful. But we learn in Ephesians chapter 3, in contrast, that God's love is like he is. Unlimited, infinite, constant, profound, and exceedingly beautiful. You see, our love is only a reflection, a drop in the bucket of the incomprehensible love of God for us in Jesus Christ. Here is true love. Here is pure and unadulterated love in its highest and fullest and most concrete sense. This isn't romantic love. that has no grounding in reality. This is real, gutsy love that would stoop to the level of sending the Son of God to die for you and for me. And so in the passage before us, Paul outlines a powerful prayer for the people of God. And make no mistake about it, this is a prayer. And yet what is striking about it is that Paul's prayer is a simple, but a vitally important and a profound one. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Paul here prays not for riches or for health or for success, which is often what we think of when we pray. But Paul's prayer is much more focused and it's much more concrete. His prayer is simple and profound. He prays not for riches, health, or success, but what does he pray for? He prays for strength. He prays for strength. In verse 16, we see that Paul prays that God, according to the riches of his glory, would grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And then in verse 18, again, we see that he prays that you would have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. In other words, Paul here prays that we would be strengthened in faith by the Holy Spirit to comprehend the incomprehensible love of Christ. Paul prays that we would have the strength in faith by the Holy Spirit to comprehend the incomprehensible love of Christ. Make no mistake about it, my friends. Perhaps the most important prayer you could utter today is, Lord, give me strength. Don't give me health. Don't give me a job. Don't give me peace. Don't give me prosperity. Don't give me affluence. Oh, Lord, give me strength. But not simply an abstract strength. Strength to comprehend the love of Christ for me. So here Paul is focusing his prayer on strength, but strength to know the love of Christ. And here we see at least six things about this love. First, we see the source of love. The source of love in verse 16. Paul prays that we would be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Jesus, in John 14, tells us that the Holy Spirit is given to us as a helper in order to lead, guide, and direct us in all truth, to point us to Jesus, to point us to the gospel. When we are disoriented in our faith, when we cannot find our way, when we are seeking to find our bearing due to trial and tribulation and circumstances, the Holy Spirit is God's GPS to point us to Christ. You know, when I first moved here to Pittsburgh, Angela and I were grateful that we did so during a time when we could benefit from the technology of GPS. Because let me tell you, Pittsburgh just defies all reason and rationality in more ways than one. But there's no going around the block in Pittsburgh, is there? We learned very quickly to go 3 miles, you have to cover 6 miles. With all the twists and turns, ups and downs and valleys and roads, there's no straight line to anywhere. You need a GPS to get anywhere, even to the grocery store, or you will not find your way back home. Trust me, I've been there. Okay. And the Holy Spirit is given to us as God's divinely inspired GPS. As He speaks to us in His Word, when we can't find our bearings, when we can't find direction, when we are simply overwhelmed by circumstance. You know, there are times in life when you are literally drowning under a sea of stress and despair. You are overwhelmed by a load of worries and cares. And you can just kind of keep your head up above water enough to breathe. And you're weighed down by all manner of pressure in life. And in times like that, the Spirit of God is given to us as a helper to lead, guide, and direct us to Christ. But likewise, in Romans chapter 8, Paul tells us that the Spirit is given to us to assure us of the Father's love in Christ. Because any time trial comes, one of the first things to go is assurance. We begin to doubt whether or not God is good, or whether or not God is powerful, or whether or not God is capable of even hearing our cries. There are times when it seems that God is distant and remote. You go through life as the psalmist did in Psalm 63, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water, so my soul thirsts for you, O God. And in times of dryness, in times of spiritual drought, in times when you are spiritually dehydrated, the Spirit is given to you and to me by faith to assure us of the Father's love. It is by the Spirit that we are enabled to say, Abba, Father. And so by the ministry of the Spirit, we are strengthened in faith and showered with God's love in Christ. He strengthens our faith and showers us with love. Listen to how Paul links these two things in Romans chapter 5. He links faith and love with the ministry of the Spirit to grant us strength through trials and tribulations. Romans chapter 5. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that. That's justification. I'm right with God. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So Jesus paid the penalty of our sins, and by faith we're justified in Him and we're granted access to the throne of God. But then listen to what Paul says. More than that, more than justification by faith alone, in Christ alone, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame. Why? Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given to you. So the Spirit of God is given to strengthen us in faith and to shower us with the love of God in Christ, especially during times of trial and tribulation. When the going gets tough, we lose our bearings, we lose our direction, and we inevitably look to our own resources for help. Anytime we were lost, the last thing Angela would want to hear is, darling, I know the way. Because we would always get lost. We needed a GPS to help point us the way. In times of despair, in times of hurt, you're generally not a good guide. of your own heart's well-being. You need the Spirit of the living God to guide you in truth, to remind you of the Father's love, to point you to Christ, to shower you with His love, to strengthen you in your faith. So the Spirit is given to strengthen your faith, to shower you with His love by pointing you to Jesus. There is never any assurance apart from Christ. And you never know Christ apart from His Word. And so the Spirit takes you by the hand, brings you to the Word, which confronts you with the living Christ. So the source of love is the triune God. The Father sends the Son. The Son lays down His life, and the Spirit leads, guides, and directs you to the Son. But secondly, we see here in this text the ground of love in verse 17. He prays that you would be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Here, Paul draws upon an agricultural as well as an architectural metaphor. Basically, what Paul is saying here is that the love of Christ is the soil in which weak faith grows. And more than that, the love of Christ is the foundation upon which weak faith builds. In times of trial and tribulation, you cannot pull yourselves up by your own bootstraps. Your faith waxes and wanes. It's weak, it's wobbly, it's wearied, it's worn out. And you need something to ground you. You need something to grow you. And here Paul is saying that faith is nourished and strengthened by knowledge of the love of God in Christ for you. That you don't look inward to your own circumstances, your own ingenuity, your own ability to get you out of the mess you're in. But God comforts you by reminding you of the knowledge that you are rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. And that faith of yours that He has given to you is nourished and strengthened by that knowledge of His love. It's like a root that's planted deep into rich and fertile soil. It always produces fruit, even in the midst of trial and tribulation. As well as faith builds on the rock solid foundation of the love of Christ. So Paul could say this in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. How's it end? Who loved me. And how did He love me? He gave Himself for me. You see, our notion of love is abstract. It's romantic. It's like Valentine's. It's all fluffy with no substance. Right? But God's love for you is always concrete. It is cross-centered. How do I know the love of Jesus? Paul says here in Galatians 2:20, I know the love of Jesus because He gave Himself up for me. I look at the cross. I come to this table and I'm reminded of His concrete love. His tangible love that's given to me in the gospel. And so assurance always looks outward to Christ. And you cling to Him, as we've been saying so many times, with the fingernails of faith. So we have the source of love, which is God, the ground of love, which is Christ, the context of love in verses 18 and 21. He says here that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. And then down in verse 20, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church. It's interesting here for Paul that the love of Christ is made known in the context of the church. That Christ's love is demonstrated within the sphere of the communion of saints. As we endure life's trials and tribulations together. How we need one another to remind each other of the love of Christ. When we're disoriented, when we're in despair, we want to withdraw. We want to hide from God's presence. And yet what we need is counterintuitive. We need to place ourselves within the context of the communion of saints that we might be reminded of the love of God for us. As one brother tells another brother, I'm praying for you. As one sister tells another sister, how can I encourage you? Together we provide a place for the people of God to see and to know and to experience the love of God in Christ Jesus. This is precisely the argument of the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And he says this in verses 7 to 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Do you see the argument here? God demonstrates his love to us in this way. How? While we were still sinners, we loved God? No. God loved us and gave his Son as the propitiation for our sins. So God demonstrates his love by giving us Jesus. But how do we demonstrate whether or not we've received that love? By showing it to one another. So that Jesus will say in the Gospel of John, this is how the world will know that you're my disciples. How? That you love one another. This is how the world will know that the Father has sent the Son. How? That you love one another. Francis Schaeffer said many years ago in his little book, The Mark of the Christian, that love is the greatest apologetic. You know, many of you say, I can't share my faith. I don't know my Bible enough. I don't know my theology well enough. Well, Schaeffer makes a very important point. He says, your greatest witness is not how well you articulate your Chalcedonian Christology, but how well you show the love of Christ to one another. Now, I'm not trying to diss the importance of Chalcedonian Christology. There's no hope without it. That Jesus is fully God and fully man. But our apologetic before the watching world is a concrete demonstration of the love of Christ that we share with one another. We bear with one another in times of trial and tribulation. So the context of love is the communion of saints. But fourthly, we see the dimension of love in verse 18. He says that I want you to have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. The love of Jesus Christ simply blows the mind away. It exceeds all breadth and length and height and depth. The love of Christ is sufficiently broad to carry you through trials and tribulations. The love of Christ is sufficiently long to embrace you when you think you're out of reach. The love of Christ is sufficiently high enough to dazzle you and to stir your affections. And the love of Christ is sufficiently deep to sustain you through all troubles and temptations. You see, what Paul is saying here is that you will never exhaust the love of Christ. You are never beyond the reach of the love of Jesus. His love is like a soaring mountain peak. No matter how hard you try, you will never see its top. The love of Christ is like a majestic ocean. You look down and you know there are depths, but you cannot see the bottom. The love of Christ is like a mighty canyon. You can stand on one side, but you can never see the other side. It's expansive, it's enormous, it's deep, it's rich, it's high, it's profound, it's constant, it's always there for you in Christ. You can never exhaust His love. He gave Himself up for me. But not only do we see the dimensions of the love of Christ, we see the greatness of the love. Fifthly, in verse 19, Paul says, I want you to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. This love is entirely incomprehensible. It is boundless. It is without end. You know, unfortunately, my love has limitations. I will never fully and comprehensively love my wife and children as I ought. As much as I want to, I don't have enough strength, enough ability, enough resources to love them as I ought. Only the love of Christ is sufficient to sustain you in this life and the next. As the old reformers would say, finitum non capax infinitum. Finite beings cannot comprehend the infinite. We stand in absolute amazement of the glory of God expressed in the love of Jesus in dying for us on the cross. It's really the reason why I believe our faith is weak. We are simply no longer dazzled by the love of Christ. Anselm, the great medieval theologian, developed what is called the ontological argument for the existence of God. How do we know God exists? Well, his point is, we know that God exists because he is that being which no greater can be thought. That's kind of abstract, isn't it? You cannot have too great a thought of God. Well, here for Paul, he puts a finer point on it. And he says the love of Christ is that which nothing greater can be thought. There's nothing greater than Jesus. There is nothing more satisfying than his love. If you look elsewhere for escape, for relief, for help, for assistance, for strength, you will be sorely disappointed. Here, Paul simply marvels at the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. And yet, it can be known. I want you to know that which surpasses knowledge, that while God is incomprehensible, he can be known and apprehended as he is revealed in Jesus in his word. As Moses said in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to God, but the things revealed belong to us. We can know Christ and his love. That love that knows no bounds. We can know him as he shows himself in the gospel, as he reminds us about himself at the table. We can know this love that surpasses all knowledge. Well, sixthly and finally, we see in verses 20 and 21, the goal of love. God loves us that he may be beloved, that he may be cherished, that he may be adored, that he may be worshipped. He so loved us that he gave his Son to us, that we would love him and cherish him. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him and love him. And what is the evidence of love? It is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that faith expresses itself in prayer and praise. You see, for Paul, prayer is the platform of praise. Prayer is the posture in which he prostrates himself before God in humble reliance upon his grace to sustain him and strengthen him in trials and tribulations. He stands in absolute amazement of this God who can strengthen you and who is able to do far more than we ask or can even imagine. Today you might be questioning whether or not God is good, whether or not he can strengthen and sustain you. And here Paul is saying the goal of love is worship, is prayer and praise, is prostrating yourself before God in humble reliance upon him to strengthen your faith and to shower you with his love. You see, prayer and praise are the great occupations of the people of God. This is why we're created, to rely upon God in prayer and praise. So here Paul's prayer is a simple but profound one, that you today would be strengthened in faith by the ministry of the Holy Spirit to comprehend the incomprehensible love of God in Christ. You see, our love is like we are, limited, finite, and fickle. And yet God's love is like he is, unlimited, infinite, constant, and exceedingly beautiful. Today, would you be strengthened in the knowledge of the love of God in Christ for you? We close today with these well-known words from Paul in Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. Who shall separate us then from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Shall your trial separate you from the love of God? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation. How does it end? Will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we praise you for this incomprehensible love. We pray that today, by your Spirit working through these words, you would grant us the strength to be able to comprehend, to be able to know, to be able to apprehend your love for us in Jesus, that he gave himself up for us, dying for our sins upon the cross. O Lord, our faith is weak. We are weary. And we need you to strengthen us in faith and shower us with your love by pointing us to Christ. And so today we say with the psalmist, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who is the maker of heaven and earth. Receive now this, our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.